this time, whew, I feel good. He is so wonderful. He is so wonderful. There is nothing like his presence. Amen. And tonight, the message is titled, Do You Know the Way? Do you know the way? Because we understand that the word of God says that there is a way that seems right. There is a way that seems right, but in the end, there lies destruction and death in that way. And the way that seems right is none other but the voice of the stranger himself, the devil, our adversary, leading us to a way that appears to be right and appears to be comfortable, but in the end, there is only death. Father God, I thank you again for taking over my mouth and my mind. I am yours in Jesus' name. Do you know the way? John chapter 14, let's go there. I pray that you all own a personal Bible. And if you do not, let us know after church and we will give you your own Bible, okay? It's so good to have a personal Bible, your own sword, your own, okay? You don't have to borrow anyone else's. We should have our own weapon, our own sword. It leads to life. It's so important that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ through your Bible. Let me say that again. It is so important that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ through your Bible, because he is the word. Amen. So John chapter 14, verse 1 says this, let not your heart be troubled. We could almost stop there. There's so much. If you focus on the news, all it is trouble. Okay. If you focus on your natural life, there can be trouble this way, trouble that way. It's always unsteady. And the word of God says that a man that is born of a woman is what? Of a few days and full of what? Trouble. Okay, so let not your heart be troubled, even in the midst of trouble. You believe in God, believe also in me. And this is Jesus talking. Who's talking? Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Can you say eternal destination? That's where he's preparing for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's coming again, saints. And that's the news that we need to be focused on. The Bible is called the gospel. The gospel is the good news. And that good news should trump everything else that's going on in this world. Amen. That's the good news. That's where our hope lies. Okay. Our hope lies in this. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Okay? That's where many of us in our lives are, okay? It doesn't stop at the altar. It doesn't stop at being born again, because when you are born again, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you don't immediately go to heaven most times. OK, so there is still a way to go. There is still a way to follow. There is still truth out there. OK, and in verse 6, he says, Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. That's the eternal destination. That's where we want to get to. We want to get to the Father. We can't get to the Father unless we are pure in heart. We can't get to the Father unless we go through the door. And the door has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the way has a name, and the way's name is Jesus. Amen. So that's where Jesus wants to bring us, is back to the Father, because we were with the Father in the very beginning. Adam and Eve spent their time with the Father, and then they were evicted from the garden, and the relationship was broken between God and his people, and that's us, amen? So Jesus Christ had to be that perfect lamb that sacrificed the way back to the Father. Jesus Christ is the way back to the Father, amen? The reason your Bible is so important, because it outlines the way. It outlines the plans of God, amen? So that is why you must begin to cast off those things in your mind that say this, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it, okay? Listen, God is a good God, And God promises that if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask for it. God, help me to understand your word as I read it. Please do not pick up your Bible and read from Genesis to Revelation unless God told you to do it. Unless God told you to do it, okay? He wants to lead you in a specific way, in a specific word, okay? So there is the written word. If you have a physical Bible, hold it up for me, all right? That is the written word, okay? It is full of revelations, judgments, and promises, okay? The written word, the written way. Okay, and then God talks to us in a personal way too. He can give you a personal word. How many has God ever given you a personal word? He's talked to you before. You've heard his voice. Not always audibly, but he guides your heart, guides your thoughts, guides your action. He says this, he's always going to talk to his sheep. How do we know he's always going to talk to his sheep? Because he says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So we have the written word, then we have a personal word, and then we have a corporate word. The corporate word comes through your local church. The corporate word is what's preached to you when you come here on a Wednesday or a Sunday. And if you belong to New Life Christian Ministries, the corporate word that has been given to us is life. John 8:32 says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We must begin to thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth, because we used to be living in a lie. And some of us know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, but there's still some lies that we're living in. And not always on purpose. Not always on purpose. But Jesus comes to reveal truth through the Holy Spirit, and we'll get there. Okay? We need a word from God. God established this whole world out of things that could not be seen. He established this whole world with his mouth. He spoke it into existence. So that's why we continually need a word from God to keep existing. God did not go to a planet store to make Earth. Okay? He didn't make Earth out of things that appear. He didn't make Earth out of things that could already be seen. He spoke and things came to being. Okay, so we need a word from God desperately. And the word that we have from God, there is a word, we need a word from God whose name is Jesus. Jesus was the word made flesh, okay, to release us from the lies of the devil and the words that have become traps that we have spoken over ourselves, okay? So, Adam and Eve were evicted from the garden. They fell into sin because of a lie. The devil didn't physically grab them and drag them out of the garden. There was no weapon that the devil used against them to make them sin or make them get cast out of the garden. He used his words. He lied. Okay, so if a word got us separated from God, then we needed a word to get us back to God. And Jesus Christ is that word made flesh that came to get us back to God. And he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh back unto the Father but by me. He can point at the devil and say, that's the joker that lied and got you separated from God. I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life to get you back to God. That's what Jesus came to do. Amen? So, the corporate word for New Life Christian Ministries is life. Life stands for this. 2 years ago, he had me start preaching on a series. It came to be four series, four phases, and that's what this ministry represents here. Life, love, identity, faith, an eternal purpose. That is life. When you come here, the preaching and the teaching that you get is going to instill love in you in four ways. You're going to learn that God loves you in your sin, in your mess, in your wickedness, but he made a way of escape. You're going to learn how to love God back. And that's what we just spent 15 or 20 minutes doing, just worshiping God. You're going to learn how to love God back. How do we love God back? By obeying his commandments and by loving others as we love ourselves, okay? The third aspect of love is learning how to love yourself. So many of us don't. So many of us don't. Do you know why? Because we believed a lie. Everywhere that we break down in that life process, every issue that we have in life, we can go back and find a lie. Was it your father that injured you? Did your father tell you what you weren't good enough? Did your father say you'll never be anything? Did your father say you were ugly and that just broke you down, broke you down? It was a lie. Just like the devil lied to Adam and Eve to separate them from God, he's been lying to all of us all of our lives to separate us from God. That's where you find the crisis. When you're going through a crisis in your life, there's a lie somewhere, okay? Finally, we have to love others as we love ourselves, because once we fully love ourselves, once we determine, you know what? I was a mess, but God loved me in my mess, so I'm going to love everybody else in their mess, okay? Once you can love yourself in spite of your issues, you can turn around and love someone else, okay? Then identity is another way that he's given us life. We must understand that we were born into sin, shaping in iniquity, but he loved us so much that he didn't wait for us to get our acts together. He pulled us out of darkness into a marvelous light. That old Damien is gone. That fleshly, lustful, lying, drinking, smoking, cussing fornicator is dead now. And I have new life and new identity in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's identity. The third aspect of life is faith. We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that without faith, nothing else works. Love doesn't work. Identity doesn't work. Eternal purpose doesn't work. Faith brings it all together. And then finally, E for eternal purpose, meaning you were made for a reason. Every single one of you is an idea of God. Every single one of you is an invention of God. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And that's what makes you special. That's what makes you lovable. That's why Jesus Christ died for you, because God had you in mind before you even hit this earth, before you even were born into sin. He had a plan for your redemption. Amen? So, Jesus is the way back to his Father through truth and to life. Say this with me. Jesus is the way back to the Father through truth and to life. So listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? John 10:10 says this, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and destroy. We already exposed the devil's number one weapon, and that is lies. That's his number one weapon. He never laid a hand on Adam or Eve, okay? It's lies. All right? But Jesus says this, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So what then leads to life? It's not a what that leads to life. It's a who that leads to life. Amen. Jesus is the way back to the Father through truth and to life. Okay, so we've got that life to live. Jesus, and let's pray this prayer. Jesus, you are the way. To the Father, tell me the truth, reveal the truth, and give me abundant life. See, you've got to be pulled from all the lies to get to the Father. You've got to, all the chains, that's what chains are, they're lies. You're addicted, you're no good, you'll never be anything, you're just a sinner. See, all those lies are chained, and then the truth comes to do what? Make us free. The truth makes us free. Amen? So, Jesus, you are the way. So we're going to go through life, love, identity, faith, eternal purpose. So we say this then, Jesus, you are the way. Take me to a place of love through truth and to life. Jesus, take me to a place of love through truth and to life. So the first thing is this, the first aspect of love is this, God loves us. So starting off, we don't believe that, we don't receive it, we don't know it, we don't understand it, and we're walking in bondage, we're walking in depression, we're walking in sickness and sadness and death and destruction. So we're saying, Jesus, lead me to love through truth. Jesus, you are the way, okay? Take me to a place of love through truth and to life. So Jesus comes to get us because he is the only way, okay? We say, Lord, I believe on you. You are my Savior. Lead me into all truth. So Jesus takes us and says, you know what? He comes to us and says, you know what? I love you. I love you. How much do I love you? I died for your sins. That's how much I love you. That's the truth. You've been sitting here saying you're not good enough and I don't love you and why did my mom die when I was a child and why was I molested and why did all these things happen? If God is real and if God loves me, well, listen, God says, here's the truth. There is evil in this world. There is a thief that is against you, okay? And people have free will and God doesn't always intervene and I don't know why God doesn't always intervene, but he's God and we're not. But I do know this about my God. That even if you were molested and even if you have been hurt, that his love can reach right down where you are and pull you out of that depression and pull you out of that bondage and pull you out of that lie. His love is enough. His love is enough. He turns the light back on. He washes you off and says, you know what? Come, you're beautiful. You're still good enough. That's the truth about you. He comes, we say, Jesus, you are the way, because we found no other way to get out of the bondage. We tried alcohol, we tried drugs, we tried promiscuity, we tried all these things to get out of the lie, the pain of the lie, the trap of the lie, and the only thing that could free us was the way, and the way has a name, and his name is Jesus. He came for us, and he pulled us out of that place of darkness. He pulled us out of that pit of shame. And he brought us back to a place of love that says, you know what? I love you. Okay? Then he's going to come get us for the second aspect of love, which is how to love God back. Okay? We need that revelation. Okay? Because some of us say, well, you know what? I'm not a good singer, or I'm not a good this, or I'm not a good that. I'm always messing up. I just can never please God. You know, I try to do right, but always mess up. Well, listen, there's a man named Paul that wrote 75% of the New Testament, and his testimony was, all the things I desire to do, the good I desire to do, I don't do that. I find myself doing the things that I don't want to do. But yet God used this man. So you must come out of that self-righteousness and say, you know what? I'm not good enough on my own, but my faith in Jesus Christ makes me good enough. Listen, this is the amount of righteousness that you have. This is the amount of holiness you have, the same as Jesus. When are you going to receive that? You don't have a lesser righteousness. You don't have a lesser holiness. It's the same as Jesus. Why? Because it's not by works. If it was by works, then Peter might have more righteousness than me because he prays longer than me. Or someone else might have more righteousness than me because they can afford to give more than me. It can't be achieved by works. Righteousness and holiness may only be achieved by faith in Jesus Christ, the only one that lived a sinful, sinless life, and we can't get to the Father but by him. So if he is the one that gives us access to the Father, then we must have the same brand of holiness, the same brand as righteousness as the one that saved us. What are we saved by? The blood of who? Jesus. What are we saved by? The blood of who? Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Washes us white as snow. Who else is white as snow? Him. He is white as snow. He was the sinless one. So if he has washed us with his own blood, we share in his holiness and righteousness. And some of you still need to be pulled out of your religion and pulled over into this holiness. And if I could just yank you over here and say, you are holy, I would do it. But it's by faith. Amen? So the third aspect of love is loving yourself, okay? And many of us need this, not just women, but men too, okay? We need to be pulled out of the lie of pity, pulled out of the lie of depression and shame that we allowed everyone else to tell us how we should feel about ourselves. We allowed the things that happened to us tell us how we should feel about ourselves. And if that's all the devil had to do to keep you under his foot, then don't you know he's going to send wave after wave after wave of lie and attack and shame and guilt? But there is a way, and his name is what?
Jesus,
and he comes for you to tell you the truth about yourself, that you know what? You are good enough. I died for you. That's how valuable you are. When the law says that you should be stoned to death for what you've done, here comes Jesus to say, where are your accusers now? And I have none. Then go and sin no more. Amen? Then finally, we must learn how to love others, not selfishly, not greedily, but the truth says we should love them like we love ourselves. Next, we say, Jesus, you are the way. Take me to a place of identity through truth and to life. So Jesus has come to set us free from the old us. How many are glad to be rid of the old you? Oh, my goodness. Woo! You should be glad to get rid of the old you. And if your spouse is here, they're secretly doing this. Woo! Hallelujah. The old you is gone. All right? That's what Jesus comes to do as it relates to our identity, okay? Listen, I'm here to free you from this lie of who you thought you were. That's good right there. I am here to free you from this lie of who you thought you were. Damien, you were not born to smoke and to drink and to cuss and be promiscuous. I gave you the parents I gave you for a reason, Damien. And some of you might say, well, my parents weren't this. God will work it out. This is my story. Okay? I gave you the parents I gave you for a reason so you would have a model. You would have an example. You will be raised in the church. You will be raised in holiness because one day your eternal purpose is going to be to use other people. And I needed you to have a past. I needed somebody that was dirty. I needed somebody who had some spots and some wrinkles and these things so that you could stand in front of them and say, you know what? Even though I used to be this, thank God I'm not that anymore. I'm not that anymore. And listen, we have to stop putting so much pressure on pastors, and you must realize that they are just as human as you. Pray for us. Pray for those who have lead over churches and things, because listen, this is the devil's desire, okay? When the devil draws back his bow, that one bow, to take out a pastor, do you not know that the pastor is not truly the intended target? It's everybody that's following him. As soon as he can knock down a pastor, he can knock down the church. That's why he goes for the head. Because as soon as someone shoots me in the head, my body falls. Pray for your pastors and pray for those that have leadership in the church. Because as you strengthen them, you strengthen you. And as you pray for them, you pray for you. We must understand that. Amen? So, Jesus, you are the way. Take me to a place of faith through truth and to life. Take me to a place of faith through truth and to life, okay? The best example I can give you of that is this. I have been saved for a long time. I was not the pastor yet, I don't believe. I was just an elder here in the church, and I was praying for my son one night who had a fever and was sick. And I began to pray for him in Jesus' name, you know, that he would be healed and that he would be well. And you know what Jesus said to me? He revealed some truth to me. The truth is always life-changing. The truth is always earth-shaking. The truth. He said to me, Damien, do you not know that when you place your hand on your son and when you pray for him, it's just like me doing it? Wow. Blew me away. Still does. That's the kind of faith we've got. I've got a towel up here. That's the kind of faith that we have to walk in. Did you hear me? When you pray for somebody, you have the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living on the inside of you. And listen, if you ever come to the truth of this kind of faith, I told you lives will be changed tonight. If you receive this word, lives will be changed tonight. If you come to the truth of this kind of faith, that Jesus, the power, the same power that Jesus had when he walked around. Now, everyone would agree that Jesus is not a liar, correct? Okay, so why then did he tell us that we would do greater works? If we didn't have the same brand of faith, if we didn't have the same amount of power, but do you know the difference? You must walk in it. You have to walk in it. You have to walk in the authority and the knowledge and the knowing. And there can be no lies working on the inside of you saying, oh, Lord, I hope this works. Oh, Lord, I hope you don't see me. I just messed up yesterday. I fell yesterday. I did something I shouldn't have done yesterday. That bondage comes. Amen. Free ourselves from that. Finally, the last step of life, eternal purpose. Jesus, you are the way. Take me to a place of eternal purpose through truth and to life. We were all born for a reason, okay? And that reason is not your job. That reason is not your spouse. That reason is not your children. Those things can help add to the glory that your life gives God, but ultimately you were created for the glory of God. The praise of God, the work of God. You've got a purpose to live, and every aspect of your life should be giving God glory. Why is that? Because we are the billboards for the world. We are the light that walks through this world that shows darkness. Jesus is the way. We are the salt in this world that shows those that without seasoning, Jesus is the way. Amen? So, we must then beware the way that seems right, because it does not lead to life. There are people that go to churches all over the world who are just living a way that seems right. We must have an intimate relationship with the way. We must have an intimate relationship with the way. And the way has a name, and his name is
Jesus.
Okay? The way that seems right is a lie. From the mouth of the father of lies, the devil. The way that is right is truth from the mouth of God through his son that became flesh, and his name is Jesus Christ. John 16:13 says this, howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Okay? Jesus Christ is the way, and since he isn't on earth anymore, that's why it was necessary that he go away so that he could send back another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was here, he could only physically be in one place at one time. But since he has gone away, his spirit was able to multiply all over the earth into all of every believer. We have a deposit of his spirit on the inside of us, and it is the spirit of truth. It is the GPS, our God positioning system, okay? If we ever would slow down and say, Lord, where are you? I'm over here. Okay, I need to get back over here, you know? We need to understand when our flesh is rising up, when anger is rising up, when lust is rising up, and we're following after that, we need to pause and say, rerouting. Okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to keep following you. You are the way, the only way, because the way that seems right leads to death. But the way that is right has a name, and his name is what?
Jesus.
And he is the only way to his Father. Amen? So, Jeremiah 29:13 says this, And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So we don't have a God that's going to hide from us. We've got a God that made us for our eternal purpose. So he's always going to lead us back to the way that gives him the most glory. So we've got to understand that when we seek for him, we will find him. God won't hide himself from you or the truth from you. Because if he hides truth from you, he hides life from you. Do we understand that? Seek after God with all your heart and you will find him. Because listen, nothing matters more than standing in front of God and hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful over a few things. I am going to make you now ruler over many. Come in and enjoy. Come and live. Live with him forever." That's what our aim is. Our aim is not a bigger house. Our aim is not a better job. Our aim is not a better church building. I would love it, but I'd rather build you up. That's my desire as a pastor, is to build up the people. And then once the people are strong, once the people are walking in truth, then we will be able to be released into the more. Okay? Because if you're walking in total truth, in total obedience, then God will be able to bless us abundantly. And when the house is blessed, the house is blessed. Do we understand that? We should be walking in a place that we have finances better than we've ever had before if we are following God in a way that leads to him. Now listen, I'm not saying that you've got to be rich. God always said he's going to supply our needs, but here's one of our needs as a church. No, I'm not going to speak that. I'm going to keep moving. I almost said something, but that doesn't agree with my spirit. All right, continuing on. Love, identity, faith, eternal purpose, okay? Those are things that God is not going to hide from us. Genesis 18, verses 17 through 19. Now, many of you may be wondering, well, God, what is my purpose? I hear him talking about purpose. What's my purpose? Why am I here? God does not hide purpose, okay? Because if he hides purpose, he hides your life, your identity, and your faith. He's not going to hide your purpose. Genesis 18, 17 through 19 says this, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become," say this with me, I shall surely become. Let's say it again. That's powerful. God has a plan for your life, and we need to declare that we're going to become that plan. Amen. Say this with me again. I will surely become. That's powerful. That puts us in alignment with God's purpose for our life. God, I will surely become that which you have spoken over me. Amen. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him." Wow. I know him. I told you he knew us before we got here. He knows us. He knows the plan. We just got to agree with the plan. Through love, through identity, through faith, we get the plan. Amen. "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So listen, we need to declare, what word are we standing on? What word are we standing on? We are either standing on a lie or we are standing on the truth. Okay? What word are you standing on? And you're going to have to go and do a self-analysis, okay, when it comes to love. Do you really love yourself? Just be honest. Where are you standing at when it comes to love? Are you standing on a lie? Because a lie, if you have to question whether you love yourself or not, you're standing on a lie. Let's just make it simple, okay? Because the truth makes you free from all that mess. You see, all those things, when I say, do you love yourself, that you think about, well, here's the reason I don't know or not, those are lies, okay? To be free from those and say, yes, I do. I do love me. Because God set me free from who I used to be. I don't love that over there, but I love what he's done. I love what he's made me to be. Amen. Say this with me. I love the me in Christ. That's what I'm trying to get you to love. That's what I'm trying to get you to love. I'm not trying to get you to love the worldly you. Walk away from that. Love who you are in Christ. Because if any of us be in Christ, we are a what? New creature. Amen. So we praise God for that. All right. We must have the faith of Peter. There was a time where Peter was on a ship and they were scared. The disciples were scared because they saw a figure out walking on the water. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Bid me to come. Okay, so the distance between God and ourselves has always been a word. I told you in the beginning, what separated us from God was a lie. Okay, what got us back to God was the truth, the word of God made flesh. Okay, so every blessing, every way out, the way out of every sickness, the way out of every problem, the way of deliverance is also a word. A word gets us from here back to God. Okay, a word. So Peter said, "Jesus, if that's you, then bid me to come. Tell me to come and I'll come." And Jesus said, "Come." So he walked on the word come. Do you understand that? It's only a word that separates you from your destiny. It's only a word that separates you from eternity. It's only a word that separates you from total health, total prosperity. It's just a word. When you're going to say, "Lord, bid me to come." They say I'm sick, but bid me to come. They say I'm poor, but bid me to come. Okay? And I told you there's several kind of words, okay? Jesus doesn't have to speak a new word of revelation to you. We got the written word, the logos word, okay? If you can get inside of this living word, if you can get inside of this living word and find a scripture that fits your situation, and you can say, "Okay, God, I'm putting this word out there. Here's the bridge back to you. You said, I'm sick right now, but here's what you said. This is my way back to you. You said that by your stripes I am healed, and I'm going to walk across that word to get to you." Do we understand that? The word of God. That's why the devil wants to keep us out of that word, because the word says that he is under our feet. The word says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. The word says that we are the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That's why the word of God says this: "My people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge or a lack of words." I can get you to your destiny, but do you have the word? I can get you to your healing, but do you have the word? I can get your children out of the streets and I can get them saved, but do you have the word? Do you know how to pray? The word of God says that the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Why do they avail? Because he prays the word. Oh, church, if you could just get this. It's only the word that separates us. Peter walked on water. You shouldn't be able to do that. That's impossible. But Matthew 19, 26 says this: "With men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Do you know why? Because God says, "Just as I send the rain from the heavens and the snow, and they always do what it's expected to do, they cause things to grow and to bud, so is my word, so shall my word be." It will never, do you hear me? It will never return void to him. So wherever you are separated from God, if you would just find a word to walk on, I don't care how impossible it looks. And the only thing that made Peter sink is when he stepped off the word. How did he step off the word? By looking at the circumstances, by looking at the trouble, by looking at the impossibility of the situation.
What's speaking to you? Because if you're walking on the impossibility of the situation, you're going to sink. If you're walking on what the enemy is showing you, if you're looking at the storm, you're going to sink. Don't look at the storm. Be a storm chaser. Okay? Say, I don't care what you are saying to me. My eyes are focused on Jesus Christ. You know, David's life was in shambles, okay? But you know what he said? I'm not going to look to the left. I'm not going to look to the right. I'm going to look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Can I keep preaching just a little bit longer? Thank you. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says this. My son, forget not my law. And here's what we must be, saints of God. We should always be walking around with great faith and great expectation in God and just always saying, bid me to come. Bid me to come. Lord, say something. That's what prayer should be. Your prayer should be this. Lord, say something. What do you want me to walk on? This situation looks impossible, but if you give me a word, I'll run across it to you to victory, okay? Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life, and when you see the word commandments, that just means his words, okay? His statutes, they lead to life. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, okay? Only a lie will forsake you. Truth will never forsake you. Bind them about thy... Wow, truth will never forsake you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Jesus has many names, and one of them is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth will never forsake you. Praise God. Here we go. Woo! Okay. And let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay? We are a people that always need to lean because none of us are independent. Okay? We're always going to be leaning one way or the other. Okay? We're either going to be leaning to our own understanding and what the flesh says and what the flesh can do and the flesh's limitations, or we're going to be leaning to the Spirit and leaning on God. We can only trust, there's no trust in ourselves, okay? All we have is the breath in our nostrils. We don't own anything. We don't own a thing. We don't even own the breath we're breathing right now, okay? So we're going to either be leaning on the world or leaning on God. And the word of God says, walk not after the flesh. Don't lean on the flesh. Don't trust in the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Lean on the Spirit, okay? Because the reason he says don't lean to your own understanding is because you're going to do what? You're going to fall every time because that's not the way of the truth. That's a lie, and a lie will forsake you. And God resists the proud. The proud says, look at me. I'm doing this. I'm the one doing this. I'm the one doing this, and lets you fall down. But when you lean on God, God, I thank you. You're the way. You provide for me. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me, okay? Lean on him, all right? In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay, so here's what God says. I will direct your paths. And listen, this is the revelation for tonight. Not just tell you which way to go, but tell your way which way to go. Do you understand that? How he can direct your paths, meaning not saying, Damien, go left to get there, but path in front of Damien, go right. Okay? Path in front of Damien, led to kidney failure. The type of kidney failure I had should have led to death, but God moves the path, okay, and it leads to life now. Do you understand that? When you don't lean to your understanding, okay, I was breaking down, all right? When they told me I had kidney failure, I called my dad. I rushed to the hospital, said, "Dad, can you get down here?" They said, "Your kidneys are failing." You know, my wife was pregnant. I'm thinking, this is death. This is death. This way in front of me. If I keep going this way, the kidney failure always leads to death. Cancer always leads to death, okay? But what he can do is take the path and direct the path, move the path. It should have led to death, but I am the way. I am the way maker. I am the way maker. I can make a way out of no way. Amen? So, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So not just not just the steps that we're taking, but the steps that we are to take are ordered by the Lord. Amen? Even how I'm freed up to be your pastor right now and working for the sheriff's office, the hours that I have as a police officer should not be. I should not have weekends off and evenings off to be a pastor on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. That's unheard of. But listen what he will do. He will move the way. He will make the way out of no way. Some of you are in some jobs you don't want to be in, but just stay there until the way moves. God, I'm going to be faithful to this job like it was the job that I do want. Amen. He will make the way. The only way the reason we get in trouble is we make up our own ways. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. Amen? Praise God. We understand that the rich young ruler wanted to know the way to eternal life. Jesus gave him a word to get to him. He said, "Sell all that you have to the poor and come follow me." And the rich man went away sad, didn't he? Because he didn't want that word. That was the word to get to him. And he refused that word, okay? And we're winding down, all right? Elijah was given a word. He says, "Go down to the brook, and I have prepared a raven to sustain you," okay? Many of us would have not went to the brook. Would have said, "Lord, you know me. You made me. You know how hungry I get. And you're telling me that a bird is going to feed me down by that brook." Yes, that's the way. I am the Lord. I changeth not. That's what I said. I will perform it. If I said it, I'm going to perform it. Now it's up to you. Will your faith get you there? Listen, it doesn't have to make sense. Faith doesn't have to make sense, okay? We just have to say, "Lord, I will trust you and I will obey." Then he went from the brook to the widow woman's house. That was the next word that was going to sustain him. See, saints of God, we always think that it's going to be some big word. I'm going to send you to the king's house. You're going to go get water. You're going to meet one of the king's servants there, and they're going to take you to the palace, and I'll sustain you there. Nope. You're going to go to a poor woman's house. It's going to be her last meal. She's going to be talking about dying. What, God? Yes. Why does God choose that route? I'll tell you why. More glory. More glory. The more impossible the situation, the more impossible the word that he's given us, that we understand that he is destined and bound to get the most glory. Amen? In closing, Psalms 119 and 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus is the way. The message title tonight was, "Do you know the way?" We should all know the way now, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Can we stand to our feet?